Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, August 17th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Your balls are showing.
They are not, and quit interrupting me, because I'm the host of this show, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Today, I have the distinct pleasure of introducing you to one of the most charming and delightful, not to mention absolutely adorable people I have had the pleasure of interviewing to date. He is the fantastic artist, Sean Z. We had such a good time together, we were constantly breaking up into laughter, and our giggling is so damn infectious, I know you will love him and his work as much as I do.
So what I'm gonna do is piss and moan like an impotent jerk, and then bend over and take it up the tailpipe!
I'm so glad you shared that with us. Listen, Sean is here as part of the Erotic Mind series. As you know, for the past year, I've been chatting with noted erotic artists, both literary and visual, from all over the freaking world, in an effort to uncover something of the creative process involved in this specialized art form. Sean's appearance marks a bit of a milestone for this series. He's the first person of color to join me in this effort. So hooray for that, don't you know? Be sure to check out Sean and his delicious artwork, especially his comic Myth, on his site, ratedz.com. That's rated-z.com.
I desperately want to make love to a schoolboy.
Maybe we can chat about that after the show. Today's podcast sponsor is, once again, So Hard. So Hard is what we in the business call a boner pill. But So Hard is not just any old Viagra knockoff, no siree. It's a pure, all-natural herbal formula that improves sexual health, combats erectile dysfunction, and increases the strength of your erection when aroused. Listen, I've tried So Hard, so I can testify to its effectiveness. Look for my review of So Hard on my new product review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. Use the site's search function, type in So Hard, and presto! And here's a tip. The first 1,000 customers to visit their site from mine will receive a free 2-tablet package for just the cost of shipping and handling. Now, you can review the product yourself, and you can do so for free. Just log on to sohardonline.com, create your order, enter the promotional code DD as in Dr. Dick in the checkout window, and then click Submit Code Link. Get your wood the natural way. Look for their handsome banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Sean, and thank you for joining us. I'm thrilled that we could make this time to be together. I love your brilliant artwork, and I'm so happy that you're here to share your erotic mind with us. Would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Hello, nice people.
Listen, and judging from the comments that I'm getting about this podcast series as well as the Sex Education podcast series, I'm going to guess that there are a whole bunch of big fat perverts out there in our audience too. Would you like to say hello to them as well?
Yay, I mean, hi.
Oh, I see we're headed in the right direction. So I confess that I've been spending way too much time on your site, ratedz.com. I believe that I am single-handedly burning up all of your bandwidth. And it's
wonderful.
It's just that there's so much eye candy there. You clearly love your work. You do, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't do it otherwise.
You never do anything that you don't like?
I try to not do so much of that these days.
So I have to ask, how did you come up with the name Rated Z?
Oh, it was, an evolution, actually. I started, my original site was SeanZ.com back in 2005, and I went through quite a bit of things during that time, and I think around 2007, or eight, I just decided to step up my game a little bit and try to create a studio out of it. Basically, I Rated Z Studio was born out of just a desire to create art without an edit button. And instead of something that was just simply X-rated, I wanted to have a story as well. And so I wanted something beyond an X rating. And thus, the Z was born.
You're such a clever lad, I can tell that already.
Can't you?
And your comic is called Myth, is that
yes.
right?
Yes, yes.
And how did that come about?
Myth was born also 2005. I got connected with the good people at the Tama Finland Art Foundation.
No kidding.
And yeah, and they liked my work, and they encouraged me to procure something of an erotic nature.
Thank God for them.
Yeah, and you know, I had always had a desire to try it, but I wasn't sure really what to do. And
you just draw big fat penises. That's all.
Myth is a. How I describe it is a sci-fi fantasy erotic odyssey.
That's easy for you to say.
Well, you know, if you have to describe it in a sentence, that would be the best.
Let's see how many syllables that you have there. Can't you just say smut?
Well, you know. You say smut, and I say that.
Oh, all right. It's like tomato and tomato.
You know, I like colorful adjectives.
That goes without saying. So how did you come to name it Myth?
You know, I've always been a big fan of mythology, and that's kind of my background, and actually in that, I think that's where my desire for sex and sexuality was really born out of that, particularly Greek mythology at the time, the stories and the images, and so I decided I kind of wanted to create my own around the themes that I really got into, and I've created a mythology with Myth, and I thought that was an appropriate title.
So do you like gladiator movies? Do you like...
Oh, it depends.
Say, little boy.
You got some candy for me there, doctor?
Yikes! We'll save that for later, for sure. So before we get to discussing erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about something really interesting. Let's talk about you. Can you give us a brief bio?
A brief bio. Well, I am Sean Z, 34 years old in Southern California, Venice. I live there with my spouse of over 3 years and our two Great Danes in Venice, California.
Because you can't have too many Great Danes.
I love dogs.
And a lot of them. And big ones.
Well, you know, we're big guys, so you know, we had to have equally big dogs to reflect that. So, and they're amazing. So, but I've always been an artist, even outside of the Rated Z stuff, and I happen to be able to do that as my real life work as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm in the creative industry.
Right. And how did you start out as an artist?
Finished school at the School of the Art Institute in Chicago.
No kidding.
Yeah.
My hometown, don't you know?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was there. I lived in Chicago for about 8 years. After I graduated, after I got done with school, I went into graphic design work because mm-hmm. that was part of my work study was visual communications and illustration. Mm-hmm. And I quickly got work, and you know, one thing led to another, and I did that for a number of years before I allowed myself the opportunity to do what I really thought was my calling, which was illustration. And moved out to California about 8 years ago, mm-hmm. and have been here ever since. It's been kind of a slow journey, and now I'm in, at least in the last year or two, has been more productive for me creatively.
Did you draw as a child?
Oh yeah, yeah. Since I could remember, and I was fortunate enough to live in a household that encouraged it. So
oh, that's great. Yeah. Because that seems to be a universal in terms of all of the artists, both written and graphic artists that I've been talking to, is all of them had this great capacity as children.
And oh yeah,
that they practiced it, and you know, and I was comparing myself to these other artists, particularly Rene Capone, when I was talking to him, and he said, "Oh yeah, he, you know, as a kid he was unstoppable." And I said, "Well, I was more likely to eat the crayons than color," which just gives you a little indication of
well, we
my
had
capacities.
To have those too. You were the eater of crayons,
that's
and
right.
I actually used them to create
yeah.
things with.
And
them.
You know, they had different flavors, but we're getting way we're getting way off topic.
Oh,
so
oh.
Your introduction or your evolution into an erotic artist stems back to your interaction with the Tom of Finland Foundation?
Well, it's prior to them, it was always there. I think uh-huh. I was looking for an excuse. I was a little more timid about it initially.
Mm-hmm. Thank God
because
you got
of,
over that. Oh, sure.
Well, you know, because of the work that I did at the time, mm-hmm. I did a lot of conceptual work for Hollywood.
Oh,
and
wow.
And so my concern was, you know, how is this going to affect my commercial work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I came up with a nickname. Mm-hmm. The Shanzi actually is based off of a childhood nickname that I had as a kid.
Ah.
So it's just a play on that name.
Uh-huh.
And there you have it. So I could separate myself from the commercial work I did at the time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So I've been having this running discussion with several other artists in this series. And it concerns the distinction between artist and illustrator. And I'd love for you to weigh in on this, if you will. Are you an artist or an illustrator, or are you both?
You know, I don't get caught up in semantics.
Uh-huh.
I would say both are equally as important.
Good,
I've known artists who care about that a lot.
Yeah. So,
and
yeah.
But I'm not one of them.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say, you know, creativity is creativity, despite what title someone chooses to wear.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But you are so right in that some people have a profound sense about this, and that, you know, artists with a capital A are, okay. you know, fundamentally better and of a hierarchical standing, superior to that of the illustrator. And I just I don't see that myself, but they obviously have some reason for doing that.
yeah, you know, I think I secretly, well, not so secretly, think that there's a bit of possible ego involved there.
Yeah, not to mention professional jealousies.
Yeah, I just don't let that get in the way of who I am as an artist, or who I am, period. It's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's just a matter of fact, and everyone's going to have their opinion. I think at the end of the day anyway, because we're, as an artist, we're kind of all in our own little creative caves, you have to be your biggest fan first.
Right.
So,
good.
Yeah.
So where do you find your models, or are all these exceptional creatures figments of your imagination? And if they are, I think you need to see a doctor.
Wow,
like Dr. Dick.
I was going to say, I think I know one, or at least I'm speaking to one right now.
Because I think this is what they call having sex on the brain.
Yeah. I say that with a smile on my inside. you know, most of it is imagination. If there's a particular position or pose that I want to play with,
uh-huh. so to speak,
and I use that with quotations,
uh-huh.
I'll look at references, but for the most part, about 95% of my work is all out of my head.
Yikes. Speaking of immense erotic minds, but it probably doesn't hurt that you live in Venice Beach.
Oh, that too, yeah. And I work out as a lifestyle. My partner and I, we both, you know, we're pretty avid gym goers. So, yeah, I get a lot of inspiration daily. At least 5 days a week.
Oh, thank you, gym culture. And I understand that you've recently returned from from the super popular Comic-Con, which was held in San Diego this year, right?
Yep, always in San Diego.
Is it always? Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
I thought they traveled around, like, when it goes in New York and...
Well, yeah, there are other conventions
right?
by different names, okay. But the Comic-Con, the International Comic-Con Convention is actually the largest in the North America area, so it harbors a lot of people.
For good or for worse. Can you give us some of your impressions? I mean, I saw it actually on the news, and when it's on the news, you just know it's important because otherwise it would be on TV, right?
Well, it's a great show. It's mostly
thousands
family.
Of people.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands of people,
no,
actually.
Shit.
So it's they're in costume, and it's, you know, the Comic-Con name is almost a misnomer because it's not just comic books. It's very much industry, media.
Right.
It's a media convention. It's it's toys. It's games. It's television and film, especially since a lot of Hollywood now is banking in the geek culture.
Right.
With the films and whatnot. So yeah, it's good. It's always a good show for me because. I get to reconnect with people I haven't seen or spoken to in years and create new contacts and, you know, also get new fans for my work with myth. So it's always fun.
Were you in costume?
Not this
tight?
Year. You know, because it's a family show.
I love
it. For me to do that. However, I will be at Folsom this year.
No kidding.
We'll be in costume there.
No kidding. I'm actually going to be in the area, but unfortunately, I'm going to be at a wedding.
Bad
luck.
Come on and visit.
All righty then. So, are you seeing any trends in terms of erotic comics? Are they growing in popularity?
Oh, I think so. There's a lot of talented people worldwide. I'm amazed every year at the number of people that I see, or the number of artists that reach out and contact me. I've gotten emails from people artists from Spain to South Africa you name it, they're out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm utterly impressed by that, and I'm like more and more.
Yeah, right. So you figure that the more people are doing this, the more mainstream it becomes. Or is mainstream not even a consideration?
Yeah, you know, I think sex has always sold, and I think it has a level of mainstream that is acceptable, depending upon your circumstance. I live in Southern California, so
anything goes.
Yeah, it's kind of a mainstay out here. But you know, it depends on what part of the country you're in, or what part of the world, for that matter.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we're going to be talking about in a little bit, but I just want to continue this thread here a little bit, this conversation about erotic comics, and are you seeing increasing numbers of people doing alternative kind of stuff, like, you know, gay sexuality as opposed to, you know, straight stuff, or and fantasy stuff, and what are the trends?
Well, from what I've noticed, it's a bit more of a mixed bag. One of the things that I've been very impressed with is the level of pansexuality with the work.
Okay.
So it isn't just straight or gay. I like to use the term queer myself because I think it's a little more all-encompassing.
Right. Yes.
You know, it's I've seen some tranny books. I have a good friend of mine who's an artist who's very much into trannies, and I had no idea it existed until I met him. Mm-hmm. And I'm just impressed by the level of talent that I've seen come out of it. And it's there. I mean, I think if if you are wanting of it, you can find it, and or you'll eventually come across an artist who's into it as well, whatever your kink. Yeah.
So there are niches.
Yes. Yeah, there are niches within niches sometimes.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Right. And does everyone get along like in Oklahoma? All the farmers and the ranchmen need to...
Well, I can only speak for
break
myself.
Into show tunes. Hold on. I feel a show tune coming on.
We're going to get top hats and
put it on the rip. Don't tempt me. You're treading on very thin ice. I'm already in my French maid's outfit, and so...
Oh, that's okay. Hey, Siri adjusts now. What were we talking about?
Are people getting along in terms of
Oh, that. Let's go back to the other conversation.
Oh, you're so naughty. Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah. I'm trying to maintain a sense of professional dignity here.
Why? This is me you're
talking. I don't know. What's wrong with me?
You know, I think so. I actually had the pleasure of co-founding a group a while ago that introduced artists, queer artists, to one another from all walks of life. Mm-hmm. So not just erotic, but it has attracted a lot of erotic artists as well.
Because that's what I want to talk about next. Because I understand that you are, as you are just about to say there, connecting with a growing community of erotic comic makers. And they're specifically queer comic makers?
It's queer comic creators.
That's what we call them.
And it's not just erotic, it's actually from mainstream to erotic. So it's literally A to Z.
Uh-huh.
As long as they're comic creators of some sort, whether they're artists or writers.
Right.
And it started off as a network, and it continues to be so. We're just expanding that, just kind of a way for us to have a community to kind of converse with and talk about what we're up to and share.
Like Oprah does.
Yeah, you know, we have kumbaya circles. And,
excellent drumming circles. And
peace pipes and all that stuff.
But, I mean, all kidding aside, I suspect that must be extraordinarily helpful in terms of support and encouragement and just having somebody to bounce stuff off of.
Yeah, we're actually hoping to – I just got the ball rolling that hopefully we'll have a presence as a group at next year's Comic-Con in San Diego. And we're going to be there together at Folsom, so some of us are going to be promoting our work through Folsom at a booth as well. So – it's been incredibly it's been amazing. We've gone from just being a network to actually using it as a distribution umbrella, so we can be taken seriously by other more mainstream distributors, getting our books in stores and online.
Does this have a name?
Bent Comics Distribution.
Bent
actually.
Comics.
Yes,
that's
Bent.
Cool.
You know, like the English say.
Yeah. You're bent, I'm bent. Everyone ought to be bent a little.
Yeah.
As opposed to straight.
Well, you know, if they aren't bent, they're lying to someone.
But it seems to me that, you know, turning this solitary work situation, like drawing a comic, into a collaborative effort really assists everyone, and is supportive as well.
Yeah, it has been. We've those of us in the California area have had the pleasure of actually, you know, meeting at least once a month.
Uh-huh. Oh, good.
And so we kind of like to have that touchstone to see what each other's up to, and, you know, have each other review each other's work and that sort of thing. So it's nice. And then I'm hoping that as it grows, it'll encourage the other artists contributing to the network who are in other other cities and other countries to maybe even start their own groups as they, you know, learn, you know, oh, this guy lives in my city, or, mm-hmm, or this gal lives in my city. So, you know.
Yeah. You know, that's another very curious kind of thing, because in my conversations with artists for this series, some of them are completely isolated. I was talking to Benoit Prevost, who lives in Paris.
And yeah, I'm a big fan of his
work.
Oh,
me too. Me too. Big
and
time.
He's sexy.
Yeah, and he's charming and sweet. And I said to him, I said, you must be well connected then. And he goes, no, I don't know anyone. And I went, yikes, in Paris, for Christ's sake.
Well, I'll have to reach out to him,
so to speak, as it were.
Yeah,
be sure to mention my name.
I will, definitely.
No, it's so true. I mean, I was saying the same thing to Mike of Mike Men, and you know, Mike is a big fan of his as well. And I said, let's all be friends, like the cowman and
I will. I'm writing notes down to myself now. Contact Mike. Yeah. Contact Benoit.
That's right. Excellent. So let's turn our attention then to erotic art in general.
Okay.
I am of the mind that defining what is erotic art is difficult, since the perceptions of both what is erotic and what is art fluctuate with time and culture. Is this your perception as well? And if it is, would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, you know, eroticism, I think it's it's almost a personal relationship,
right,
between the individual, and I think it has more to do with comfort levels of self first. At least for me, because I mean, I can find body parts totally not related to sexual organs very mm-hmm. sexy. So,
yes.
A gesture, a look can be very sexy to me.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's subjective, especially with what I do with myth. I mean, it is a story that just leaves nothing out.
Mm-hmm.
That was really important to me as a creator, mm-hmm. To not just make the emphasis on sex, but
right.
because I've included it, it becomes a conversation and a plot device.
Right.
So that's kind of my impression of what is erotic. I mean, it can be day to day. It really just depends on you,
mm-hmm.
And your own relationship with it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a very healthy attitude about it, and I'm fortunate enough to be in a relationship that, you know, the communication is superb, and we get to have those conversations and those explorations. And I like to have that reflected in my work to, mm-hmm. to hopefully incite, besides entertain, incite those things in other people.
Right. I would think that, you know, I mean, so there is an educational or an enrichment sort of aspect to the work that you do, as well as entertaining, and you know, inviting people. I mean, your work is a real celebration of sexuality. I mean, there's no denigration that I have seen, and so it's a joyful kind of experience.
Oh yeah, I mean, one of the main characters is a porn star, so. Mm. How many
and what's not to like about porn stars? I love it. Absolutely.
I think they get a bad rap sometimes.
Oh, it's so true. And so do so do directors and producers like me.
I bet.
It's true. I mean, it really, and interestingly enough, and I want to talk about this more later too, but, you know, I have found that even in the gay community, you know, like people say, you're a pornographer? Oh, that's the worst of the worst. And
oh,
I go,
yeah.
Oh, come on, get over it.
Yeah, I've gotten some flack for, it's interesting, when I first started Myth, when I did the one shot in the black and white book in 2005, I got the mixed bag of responses were anything from, oh my God, there are too many dicks in this book, or oh my goodness, there's not enough.
Right. Right. So, everyone's a critic.
Yes.
But it's interesting to me. I mean, like, what I find so fascinating about your work is that, you know, as you say, there's a plot line, and I mean, people don't start out all naked. I mean, they actually have clothes on, and then clothes come off, and I mean, it's situational kind of sexuality. It's not just gratuitous.
And
that's, you know, that was the kind of thing that I was doing, you know, with Daddy-O Productions as well. I mean, is trying to put human sexuality, and particularly gay human sexuality or queer human sexuality, into a context. And that was foreign, at least at the time when I was doing it. You know, people were saying, well, you know, there's not enough cum shots per 20 minutes, and, you know, what is all this kissing, and why is the clothes staying on so long, and, you know, like, what's up? This is unrecognizable.
Well, that's because those were your hardcore porn fans who, you know, they want their porn. That's all they want.
They want the money shot, goddammit.
Yeah, they're like, story, what's that? Who cares? Get to the sex.
Well, you know, but I wanted to buck that trend because I thought, you know, what would be the purpose? I mean, of just, you know, cranking out the same old stuff that, you know, floods the market already. I mean, why not do something different and have people choose? Now, I'm happy that, you know, some people, you know, liked it, and if other people didn't like it, they certainly had enough of other stuff to choose from. But the ones who were longing for something a little bit more romantic, alluring, and seductive were deprived because, you know, the sex had to happen, you know, at least every 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. I'm right there with you, actually. You know, I when you were talking, you made me think of, I think the first movie that I saw that I think started that trend in my head was Caligula. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, it's the story of Caligula, and you know, it just went everywhere, and I loved that.
Yeah.
I think it made me hungry for more stories like that.
Yeah.
So I mean, with what you do in respect, I mean, that's amazing and wonderful, and I'm glad you do it.
Well,
which is
it
why
certainly made a difference. You know, people talked, and you know, it wasn't everybody's cup of tea, as I mentioned, and which is fine and dandy with me. I mean, I don't know of anything that, you know, enjoys universal acclaim. So,
exactly.
But you know, to be able to put stuff out there that, you know, people have a choice, I think is a really good kind of thing.
Yes. I agree.
And that you see, you know, sexuality in a context, you know, where, you know, it's not just parts bumping, but they're actually attached to people who are making facial, you know, grimaces, and their toes are curling, and they have a sex flush, and their nipples are erecting, and all of those, you know, kinds of things that are missed for the folks out there who are just, you know, consuming in the cum shot.
Yes.
So, well, look at the time. Holy cow. I'm
having
just
too
about,
much fun.
That's right. And I need to get off my pontificating horse here and let you talk some more. But since I have a whole lot more questions to ask you, and you are so charming and delightful, I cannot let you go without a commitment to come back next week.
Oh, I'd be honored.
Excellent. But before then, before we conclude today, would you give us your website and walk us around a little bit? Let us know what we'll find there.
Oh, sure. It's rated-zebra.com. And what you'll find there is the ongoing weekly updated series of myth from beginning to its current story page, as well as a gallery with some of my art, which is also desperately in need of more updates. A cast section that will give you more information on the characters in the myth series as well. So, you know, gives you some background information, let you know who you're getting snuggled up with for a bit. So.
That's right. And we should bring Kleenex, right, when we
yes.
do this.
Yes.
Because we'll probably wind up touching ourselves impurely.
You know, things might appear larger than they actually are, and, you know.
All righty.
Things
well,
happen.
Until next week, then, we'll be seeing you in cyberspace, yes?
Yes.
Thanks, darling.
Thank you.
Hey, fantastic show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for part two of my conversation with Sean Z and more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is So Hard. I know what you're thinking. With so many herbal supplements on the market that boast fast-acting results, it's hard to know which erection-enhancing formula to choose, or if one shouldn't just avoid them altogether. I always tell my clients to beware of bogus claims and the dangerously adulterated products that abound in the marketplace. So Hard is different. It is made of 100% herbal extracts. It is as effective as any medically prescribed drugs I've ever tried, but it's much kinder to my system. There were no headaches, unsightly flushes, upset stomach, rise in blood pressure, or altered vision. In my years-long search for the holy grail of herbal erection enhancers, I have found only one product that it consistently delivers on the promises it makes, without any of the nasty side effects. So Hard improves genital blood circulation, which assists in achieving and sustaining a strong erection. As you know, every human body is unique, so each of us metabolizes what we consume in a slightly different way. You'll want to keep that in mind when you use So Hard.
Here goes. I sped. I followed too closely. I ran a stop sign. I almost hit a Chevy. I sped some more. I failed to yield at a crosswalk. I changed lanes in the intersection. I changed lanes without signaling while running a red light and speeding!
And just so we're clear, So Hard is not miraculous. It will not override an unhealthy lifestyle, but it can positively affect our sexual response cycle, making us more easily aroused, as well as more energetic lovers. Look for So Hard Spanner on DrDickSexAdvice.com. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? That's even better. Over and out.